right, let's take our Bibles, please, and try to find the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20, if you can see. It's getting foggy around here. Brother Mays Jackson said one time we're going to have a C&I dog to get out of here. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, to be in the meeting. I appreciate Brother Tony inviting us to come. And I really do. I mean this. I appreciate this church. And I didn't know if I was going to get to make it or not, but the Lord worked it out and moved on the pastor's heart where I was in meeting, and he allowed me to slip away to come up here tonight. And then we have to preach tomorrow night, Lord willing, in Knoxville, Thursday night and Friday night. And then just a few minutes ago, I called the pastor. I was supposed to be in Florida next week, and I canceled that meeting. I'm really just tired, and I want to get to hear Brother Tony. He's going to be with my brother at our home church come Monday and Tuesday, the Lord willing, for a couple of nights. And I'm anxious to get to hear him preach. He's full now when he'll give you part of his Sunday, and then we'll catch it Monday and Tuesday. We're looking forward to it. And I want to say thank you to the church for the nice motel room and appreciate the accommodations and everything that's been done. I appreciate the visitation of the Holy Ghost tonight. I really was. I mean, really, I was tired and tired a little bit in spirit and preaching in some places that have kind of been pulling on me just a little bit. But through the song service tonight, the preaching of the Word of God, I've been made to be refreshed. Holy Ghost to do that for you. You refresh you. Stir you up. And I appreciate Brother Chris. Brother Chris Hazel. The first time I ever went to preach for him, I got there on a Sunday night, and they was having choir practice. I got there a little early, and I come in the back door, and nobody knew who I was. I'd never been there before. And I slipped in, and I said, where's the pastor? And they said, that's him standing on top of the pulpit leading the choir. And literally, that's where he was. If you think I can preach like that, and that's long gone, 20 years ago gone. I can't fire off like that and run like that. But I tell you, we do need to cry wolf. You need to remember that. Put that into practice. Be mindful of that. And I told Brother Chris when he sat down, I said, that was good. I thought about the Apostle Paul. You know what Paul said? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He named him. He said, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil. He named him. And then John said, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. Those men were crying wolf so that others would know who they were. Now tonight, with the help of the Lord, and I'll try to be as brief as I can, and just with the help of the Lord, testify a little bit. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I want to read part of a verse. Now, don't let that to mislead you. I want to read part of verse number 12, and then I'm going to back up and reread some of the Bible tonight. And I'm just going to bring you a Bible message, nothing unusual, nothing all that deep, just right out of the Word of God. That's deep enough for me. Really, that's over my head, really. I mean, that's more than I'll be able to fathom. But in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, in verse number 12, the man who is speaking here is King Jehoshaphat. And what he says here in verse 12 is, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Now here's my message tonight. Here's the thought upon my heart. Neither know we what to do. I want to preach tonight on what to do when you don't know what to do. Right here from a biblical perspective, right out of the Word of God, Jehoshaphat is facing a situation that he does not know how to handle. And he cries to God, and he said, Lord, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever found yourself like that? Have you ever been there, maybe spiritually, maybe trying to make a decision, maybe mentally, physically, emotionally? I mean, just not knowing what to do. I've had people come up to me recently and say, Brother Buster, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do about our children and our grandchildren. Preacher, I don't know what to do about this and that and the other. But right here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, I believe is God's remedy that he showed me just recently for what to do when you don't know what to do. Now, if you're not there, you just file this one away in your computer, and put it down for preventive maintenance, because the day's going to come when you will not know what to do. Now, for just a little background information, in chapter number 19, what you find in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat, in verse number 1, the scripture said the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. He had just went out with Ahab in chapter number 18. They had fought the Syrians, and in that battle, Ahab died, but Jehoshaphat survived. He's come back to Jerusalem now. And in verse number 4 of chapter 19, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. I believe that's commendable about Jehoshaphat. The people had been scattered, and they were here and there, and he's seeking to bring them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Verse 5, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Now, you can go home tonight and reread chapter 19 all the way through this chapter. Jehoshaphat is seeking to set things in order there at Jerusalem. He's trying to put things in order. And I want to use him as a type of the pastor tonight and allow Judah and Jerusalem to be a type of the church. And I just want to continue on with what Brother Chris was dealing with. I want you to see what happens in chapter number 20. Now, we're working up to the thought that Jehoshaphat had when he said, neither know we what to do. What's going on? What's caused him to cry out to God like this? Well, he set things in order in chapter number 19. And when he did that, chapter 20 verse 1 said, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Just as soon as he set things in order, there was an enemy that rose up against him. That's the way it is in the church, friend. When a man of God stands and declares, thus saith the Lord, and tries to set some standards and convictions and declare what's right from the Word of God, mark it down. As Brother Chris was preaching tonight, the devil's not going to roll over and play dead, friend. He'll try to send an enemy. And what's happening, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, I don't have this thing on, do I? I don't even know if I turned it on or not. Yes, it's on now. Now, they're coming against Jerusalem battle. Look at verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Here is the problem that's severe. Now, please don't think I'm just trying to give you an Old Testament history lesson tonight. I mean, can you imagine in that day, there's an enemy coming, Ammonites and Moabites. They don't know God, could care less about God. They're coming to destroy Jerusalem, a type of the church. But now watch what Jehoshaphat does in verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I like that about him. He knew where to go, friend, in the time of his trouble. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, he's the political figure in the land. He's the king. Would to God that God would give us some men like this that might lead our nation and set themselves to seek the Lord. And even some men that would proclaim a fast and say, let's fast and call on God for direction. In verse number 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the fenced cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. What you have in verse 5 now, there's the problem that's severe. The Ammonites and the Moabites are coming. But here's the prayer of the servant of God. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And let me say this, God doesn't need to be reminded of who he is. But Jehoshaphat, friend, is sincere now. He has an entire congregation out there,
and he's looking up to heaven. He said, art thou not the God of our fathers? Art thou not God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Yet I believe there's some old timers hanging around that said, amen. That's the God of our fathers. Then notice how he prays in verse 7. He said, art thou not our God? I'm glad he's the God of our fathers, but thank God he's our God tonight, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. He reminds God of the covenant relationship that God had made with Abraham. And he falls back here on a promise of the Scripture. Now notice in verse 8, and they, speaking about Israel, dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, for thy name's sake. Now you'd have to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. That's when Solomon built the temple, prayed the dedicatorial prayer, and the glory of God filled that temple. That's what he's talking about right here. And he says here in verse 9, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. That's the promise that God made to Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. I begin to try to study this out. That's 100 years ago from 2 Chronicles 20. He's falling back on a promise that was made to their forefathers 100 years ago. Hey, friend, when you get to where you don't know what to do, you can always fall back on the promises of the Word of God. Now drop down to verse number 12. Here's the perplexity of the situation. He's called on God now. He's met God's conditions. They're before the new court out there, the congregation, and they're gathered together. And folk are looking up to heaven. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But here's what I want you to see. But our eyes are upon thee. I'm going to tell you, friend, I believe that pleases the Lord when we put our eyes upon Him. Hey, He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can solve the problems and save the sinners. Why, friend, it's like He said, our eyes are upon you. I see little children out there, grandparents. I see men and women and soldiers, and they've got their eyes toward heaven. Now watch this. Watch your Bible closely. Verse number 13 said, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And Jehoshaphat has just said that neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Number one, what to do when you don't know what to do? Hey, look to your personal potentate. Hey, you say, why do you use the word potentate? That word potentate means King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, they tell me the Masonic Lodge talks about a potentate, and they call him the most worshipful master. I don't know much about all of that. I know there is one potentate. 1 Timothy 6:15 said, which in his times he shall show, who is the only potentate, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. What to do when you don't know what to do? Get your eyes on your personal potentate. Hey, we've got somebody interested in our situation, friend. I don't know anybody in the White House. I don't know the governor of Tennessee. I'm not even familiar with the mayor of Knoxville. I do know the sheriff on a first-name basis. That's about as far as it goes. But thank God, far beyond all of that, I'm acquainted with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And when I don't know what to do, friend, I have learned to put my eyes on my personal potentate. Amen. And they're all standing out there. I can see the grandma say, "Youngins, look up and listen to the preacher now. Everybody get your eyes toward heaven." And they're saying, "Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Now watch how your Bible's worded in verse 14. This won't be much more than a Sunday school lesson. But verse 14 said, "Then." It was when they put their eyes on the Lord. It was when they confessed their inability. They wasn't putting their stock in their armies and their military strategy, but they was looking to the Lord. Then, and only then, upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. You say, did he pronounce those words right? I don't know, and you don't know either, so we won't argue about it. Notice what happens. Then came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God didn't abandon them. I mean, they'd met God's conditions, and God sent His Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit of the Lord, right in the midst of the congregation. And don't tell me they didn't know somebody else come walking through. You know when He shows up, friend. I know He lives, and He sealed us unto the day of redemption. I like it when there's a manifestation of His presence, like I felt here tonight in the house of God. Brother, I'm telling you, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon this young man, who's a qualified young man. Look at verse 15. And he said, here's the proclamation of the preacher now. He said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord." I like that. Here comes a word from heaven, friend. Amorites are out there, Moabites, inhabitants of Mount Seir. But thank God, I thank God. It's like they was a-going in the mulberry bush, and they was a-rustling in the wind, and the Spirit of God moved, and a man of God stood up and said, "I've got a message here. Thus saith the Lord." He didn't say, "Thus saith the commentary." He didn't say, "Thus saith the professor." And I do read a little bit, and I appreciate men that try to teach others. But he said, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. I believe some old grandmas had tears running down their eyes now, and they're patting them little children on the head and said, "Don't worry, don't worry. God's got a word for us right here. Thus saith the Lord." He said, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Don't you know that was refreshing? Hey, they were meeting insurmountable odds. They couldn't handle this thing. But God said, "This battle's not yours." He said, "The battle is mine." He said, "This battle is God's." Number one, look to your personal potentate. Number two, listen to the proclamation of the preacher. When the man of God stands here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and preaches you God's word, listen to what he's saying, friend. That's how you can find direction for your life. That's how you can find help in the time of need. That's how you can keep your family together. I'm telling you, God speaks through his men, through the word of God. I believe Jehoshaphat said, "Hallelujah, a word from God." And those old timers said, "God hadn't abandoned us, and God hadn't forgot us. We've met God's conditions, and now he's speaking to us." Watch this. Verse 16. He said, "Tomorrow You say, when are you going to preach? I'm preaching right now and you don't know it. I'm telling you. He said, tomorrow, this is the Spirit of the Lord now, speaking through this young man. Tomorrow, go down against them. He said, behold, they come up by the cliff of Zee. Now, Jehoshaphat had no idea of their military strategy and which way those Amorites and Moabites was going to come. But the Holy Ghost knows which way the enemy's coming. He knows where the wolves are hiding, friend, and he knows how to flush them out, too. Hey, he knows how to expose them so you can find out who they are. That's exactly right. He said, they're coming up by the cliff of Zee, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. I'm glad the Spirit of God can give us inside information about what's going on through the Word of God. Hey, we're not in the dark about what's going on, friend. I tell you what we ought to be doing, lifting up our heads and looking for our redemption, for surely it's a drawing nigh. Now, you need to listen to the proclamation when you don't know what to do. Listen to the proclamation. Look to your potentate. Number three, lean on His power. This is what they had to do in verse 17. Now remember, there's men that have just been out there fighting the Syrians. Jehoshaphat has a good standing army. Men that have wounds and battle scars. But Jehoshaphat knows his army's no match. And they needed God's power here. Verse 17 said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You hear me? I'm telling you, I believe that was like a breath of fresh air. Jehoshaphat finds out this is not his battle, but it's the Lord's. And all he has to do is set himself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you say, preacher, that's Old Testament preaching. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Amen. Sometimes we just need to set ourselves. That means position yourself. Hold the ground you've got, and stand still, and see and behold the deliverance of God Almighty. Hey, He can handle the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Diotrephes. Hey, you hear me? He can handle the wolves, friend. He knows where they're hiding at. Amen. Now watch the lean on His power. Lean on His... Hey, the arm of flesh will surely fail us. We can't lean on our ingenuity and our ability, but we need to lean on His power. What to do when you don't know what to do? Now, the reason I'm preaching this is, number one, I didn't know what to do tonight. And the Spirit of God laid this on my heart. And number two, I've been there several times recently. And that's when God moved on my heart with this message. What to do when you don't know what to do. You're just going to have to lean on His parent. Lean on His power, Mom and Daddy, as a parent. Hey, you say, preacher, I've got a child here, and I've got a boy over here, and I've got grandchildren, preacher, that are out in this. And all we can do is lean on His power, and cry out to Him, and pray, and trust God. Hey, I tell you that song Brother Kirk sung about that boy on that Harley Davidson, that might not have done much for you. I was thinking about my brother the morning that night he got saved, that left my house and ran up to Mama's house, and Mama was out on the back porch, and the old prodigal came home that night. I'm glad God's able to arrest an old sinner riding a Harley, and God can go down to where they are. Hey, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, friend. Hey, don't give up on those boys and girls that are out there in sin, but lean on His power. Trust Him and pray and wait. You may have to wait. It may be hard. You may feel like God's delaying and God's not showing up. And God's not moving on your time schedule. But He is never late. He's never late. Lean on His power. And then I want you to see this. Here in verse number 18 and 19. Now this is what's really hard. Hey, there's still Amorites out there. There's still Moabites out there. But here they begin to lift up praises. They begin to lift up purposeful praises. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Honey, he just heard from heaven. He just heard from the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm telling, if you ever hear from heaven just right, it'll put you on the ground. It'll get you bottomed out and face down with God and saying hallelujah. Amen. It's good when you hear from heaven, friend. Old Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And there's some of them good brethren in all Judah. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. They said, if our pastor's going to do that, then we're going to do it. Amen. Jehoshaphat just fell prostrate. And here goes everybody else falling down. And they're worshiping the Lord. When you hear from heaven, friend, when you get a word from God, it'll help you to worship. And by the way, we've got 66 books right here. We've got His Word right here. And then notice in verse 19, in the Levites of the children, the Kohathites, and of the children, the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Hey, they've not seen a dead Amorite. They've not seen a dead Moabite. I can hear them shouting, we've heard from heaven, and everything's all right now. Hey, I didn't feel like preaching when I come up here, but I'm feeling a little preached in my soul. Hey, have you ever been down praying? Have you ever agonized with God? Held on the horns of the altar, as it were? And had God whispered, everything's going to be all right? I've seen them old grandmas come up off the altars shouting and saying, I've heard from heaven. My boy's going to get saved. My husband's going to get saved. Hey, when you hear from heaven, friend, it'll give you reason to rejoice. And they did it by faith. They lifted up praises by faith. Now this is hard. This is easy preaching and hard practice. Boy, they're facing an enemy out. Hey, they're wetting their swords, them Amorites and Moabites. And all of a sudden they hear something. They probably heard them. The Bible said with a loud voice. That's what it said on high. I guess they thought, what in the name of heaven them boys over there shouting about? Well, little did they know, friend, that those boys over yonder had heard from heaven. Now, it's easy to praise God on the mountain, and you know that. It's easy to praise God when the debts are paid and there's a little she money in your pocket and a little he money. That's money he don't know about, money she don't know about. When you're down in the valley and your back's up against the wall and you seemingly have reached wit's end corner. Thank God you may hit wit's end corner, but you're never at faith's end corner. Faith don't have an end, friend. It's tied unto heaven. Hallelujah. And you can just go ahead and shout a little bit. You can just go ahead and praise God a little bit. You say, but preacher, you don't know how bad. You don't know what we're walking through. You don't know what we've heard this week. Well, just go ahead and praise Him a little bit anyhow. Just go ahead and thank Him a little bit anyhow. And I tell you, it'll get a little better. And it'll get a little better. Amen. Now here, we've seen the perplexity of the situation. What to do when you don't know what to do. Now, verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Amen. Hey, verse number 3, the Bible said he was full of fear, and he set himself to seek the Lord. But now he's heard from heaven, and he's full of faith. And he said, church, I want you to hear me, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. He has a 2-point outline. Believe in the Lord your God. I can just see old brother Jehoshaphat. He rears back and said, listen, every one of you just believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. And then he said, believe ye his prophets, and so shall you prosper. You know what? That was good back then. I believe it's still good today. Just believe in the Lord your God. Believe in His prophets, the Word of God, and the prophecies of old. Just believe, friend. Just believe. I tell you, we got to running scared last year. Some people did, and I'd have to hit this a little bit. Y2K come up, you know, and boy, people, I've never seen so many yard sales, people trying to get rid of tuna fish and ready-made meals and generators and flashlights and batteries and bottled water in all my life. Yeah, I preached in one church. I didn't know anything about what they was doing. They run about 2,400 people. I don't even know how I got there. And I just said, I tell you what about Y2K. It means yes to the King. And yes to the kingdom. I said, I didn't buy a flashlight. I didn't even buy a battery for the one I had. I tell you, we didn't buy no bottled water. You say, well, you're crazy. I know that. I've got papers that say that. But you know what? Hey, I mean, I just told Barb, I said, honey, we've trusted God 20 years in our marriage. I'm not going to freak out now. I'm not going to pull a panic button now. I said, I believe our God is able to take care of Y2K. I preached in that big church, had 2,400, and I said that in that meeting, just kept a preaching. Next week, the pastor got up. He said, I want you to know God told me that Y2K was going to be legitimate. And Brother Buster has no idea what he was talking about. You know what? He's never called to apologize. I bet he never apologized to his people. I didn't know that they had thousands of dollars worth of canned goods stored up. Honey, I'm telling you, some Baptists act like they thought they was going in the tribulation. Huh? I thought the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Amen. Hey, just believe in the Lord your God. Just believe His prophets and His Word. God is as good as His Word, church. He said, I've esteemed my Word greater than my own name. That's a big statement from God. You ain't going to pigeonhole God on His Word. You ain't going to back God into a corner and get God fretful and have God wringing His fingers and saying, my, they're believing my Word. What am I going to do? Nah, He likes it when we believe His Word. He likes it when we proclaim His promises and cry out to Him. I promise. Yeah, it works. It's been a working for me 24 years. I ain't a changing now, honey. I'm just going to believe in the Lord, my God, and the God of my fathers. Amen. I got to get out of here. Verse 21, the Bible said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, this doesn't make any sense. This is beyond all rational logic. You hear me? They're going out there to face Amorites and Moabites. I mean, mean men. Hostile enemy. He said he got with the elders and they got together and had a prayer meeting evidently. And they said, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to send singers out there first that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. He said, we're going to put the soldiers in the back. He said, we're going to let God, he said, I'm going to let you see. I'm going to let you know that this battle's the Lord's. He told us it was His. So we're just going to believe it. We're going to put the soldiers in the back and set the singers out front. Can you imagine what the Ammonites and Moabites thought when they saw them singers a-coming? And by the way, there was a male choir and a female choir in Jerusalem at that time. Asaph was one of the choir directors, and he pinned some of the psalms down, and the sons of Asaph would lead those men, and there was a female choir, they tell me. I see the girls on this side of that valley. I see the men on this side. Probably the women went to singing first because they're usually first in the choir. I'm sorry, men. That's just the way it is. I hear them sopranos and altos. They begin to sing and they begin to sing this. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And they look and nothing happens. And all of a sudden the men, I can hear them say, come on, baritones and bass. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And the girls echoed back, and the men echoed back. And they went to, now watch how your Bible's worded. The Bible said in verse 22, and when they begin to sing, and to praise. It didn't happen until they began to sing. If they'd have sat back and said, we better table this until the next conference, this don't make a lick of sense. No, they stepped out by faith, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord, Jehovah God, friend, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I looked that word ambushments up. I'm glad God knew how to do it before the Navy SEALs and the Green Beret. God's been setting ambushments for a long time. They tell me that word means, has the idea to it, that God so befuddled their mind, and He so confused them, that they turned on each other. I've seen deacons do that. Amen. I've seen hirelings. I've seen wolves that would rise up and take part of the flock off and start an illegitimate church and go down there with an illegitimate flock and have somebody illegitimate to ordain an illegitimate preacher and get. I've seen God so confuse that crowd they turn on each other. Amen. Hey, He can fight our battles, friend. My brother that preached here the other morning, this is on tape, I don't care, mail it to him. Send it to him, I'll pay the postage. My brother, pastor in there in Knoxville, Tennessee, Brother Tony's been with him, going to come and be with him again. But Brother Jim took a deacon-run church, a deacon-controlled church, an old, established deacon-controlled church. I talked to him after a while, said, son, he'd been there a couple of years. I said, won't you try to have a men's meeting and get away from them deacons' meetings? So he mentioned that to the deacons, and they said, oh, no. They said, we tried that years ago, and it got out of hand. He told me that. I said, yeah, it got out of their hands, is what they're saying. And about 8 months ago, 7 months ago, the men of the church rose up. They went to them deacons and said, we're having a men's meeting with you or without you. Show up or stay home. We just really don't care. And they began to have men's meetings. Well, the deacons got chaffed. You know what that means? They were rubbed raw, son. I mean, they got upset. They got mad. Now listen, you better listen to what I'm about to tell you. One of them stood up. He did come to a men's meeting. He stood up, and good thing I wasn't there. Now, I'm not completely sanctified. I'm saved. Positionally, I'm sanctified in Christ. And I am striving to be more sanctified down here. But I'm not as saved as some of y'all are. That deacon stood up in that meeting, that men's meeting. He called my brother a liar. He said our pastor's manipulating funds to get a raise. And some of the men cried, woof. Woof, woof. They grabbed him and they said, you need to apologize or put some proof on the table or get down here and let's have a prayer meeting. And he said, I ain't doing neither. And he walked out. Walked out now. He'd been in control for a long time, see. You know what happened just a few weeks ago? He went off and run his mouth and run down the church. And he joined another church. He wrote back for his letter. And they granted him one, not in good fellowship. But they read it that Wednesday night. You listen to me. And the next day, Thursday morning, he is mowing his yard and come in and took a sip of a glass of tea, fell over a graveyard dead. Now, nobody thinks that's the judgment of God today. You know what people just about have got? They think that's just coincidence. The old timer just kicked the bucket. I'm going to tell you, you better be careful about rising up against God's man. You better be careful about putting your mouth and your hands upon God's man. Son, they buried him. They planted him the other day. My brother, this is before that. Now, he called me. He said, I want you to come preach on Sunday morning. I said, I'm in revival meeting, son. He said, call that preacher and see if you can get cut loose. He said, something's getting ready to happen at the church. So I called him. The pastor was gracious to let me loose. He said, I don't want you to come to a preaching time. I felt like a mercenary. I felt like a hitman for Jesus. I come walking in about preaching time, got in there, and here come the Sunday school superintendent, who was also the chairman of the deacon board. You show me chairman of the deacon board in this King James Bible, and I'll eat every page up in front of you. Huh? He got up, and that chairman of the deacon board said, well, said, you can see the church is falling down now. And he said, we went from 200, we're down to about 75 or 80. And you know what some of that crowd did? They come to my brother, and they said, we love you, Brother Jim, and we love your preaching, but we can't stand all of this stress. But once you get the church under control, we'll come back. I told my brother, I said, if they won't ride the storm out with you, son, if they won't stay with the church in the time of a storm, hey, don't try to hop back on when it's smooth sailing. That's exactly right. Well, I'm telling you, now that he got up and he said, well, I'm going to resign. As the Sunday school superintendent, under my breath, I said, hallelujah. And then he said, I'm the chairman of the deacon board and have been for 24 years. And I'm going to be set on the inactive list. And I'm resigning for four other deacons who are not here today. And he said, we're going to all be put on the inactive list. See, they were businessmen. They made a little this. And they thought they could bankrupt the church. They thought they could hold their tithes. Bunch of God-robbing hypocrites, you hear me? And that's polite. God-robbing bunch of hypocrites. And they held their tithes and held their tithes. I got up to preach that morning, and God helped me somehow. It took heaven, friend, to put a bridle on my mouth. I never mentioned the word deacon. I just preached to the church. Some were in a state of shock. Some were about to shout. There's five or six joined the church that morning. And the tithe has not went down. The tithe has stayed the same and even gone up a little bit. Hey, I'm glad you hear me. God don't have to have a bunch of multi-millionaire businessmen to run His church. No, sir. Hallelujah. I may die before I get through preaching, but you tell them I'm having the time of my life tonight. And that's the first drink of water, too. Son, they begin to sing. They begin to praise the Lord. And the Bible said God set ambushments. He confused them. Huh? You know what one of them low-down devils did? One of those, I'm telling you, as a young man, come over to that church, a young so-called preacher boy. My brother tried to help him and his wife, and he was in and out and up and down and on and off, and now he's out. And he's been out 6 months, and he's stuck in that crowd and went down the road and started an illegitimate church. Do I need to tell you what I'm trying to say? And it's an illegitimate preacher with an illegitimate church, and I'm trying to find out who the illegitimate preacher was that ordained him. Amen. You hear me? I'm telling you. I mean, God's not in that mess. God never has been in that kind of mess. That poor, hey, but watch this now. My brother called me. I said, son, just hang on now. Now, I'm bad, see. I don't mean bad as far as physical. I'm an old man. I'm 49 years old. I ain't bad that way. But I said, son, I'm bad to take things in my own hands. First thing I'd done was put my fist in that deacon's teeth, and he'd been spitting them in the toilet, and I'd have to resign. That's the reason I'm in evangelism. I couldn't pastor a half a day. I couldn't do it. That's the reason I'm an evangelist, trying to help the church. Yeah, some of you say, oh, we'd like to have Brother Buster. No, you wouldn't last as long as a snowball, wouldn't you lie, friend? I said, now, damn, Brother Jim, see, he's kind of laid back. He's quiet. He just stood still. Now he's seen God deliver him, take that crowd out. And there's folk coming in and joining now, and people's getting right. And there's a fresh spirit in the church. I mean, the wolves have gone. The smell of wolves is gone. Hallelujah! Sometimes you need a back door revival, just as good as a front door revival. You hear me? Sometimes you got to filter out the trash. Don't tell me, preach no more. I'm tired. The Bible said in verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. Well, they just invited them to come over and help them. Now they turned on them, and they killed every one of them. utterly slay and destroy them. And when they made an end, the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. That means God set an ambushment. He confused their minds. They didn't know what to think about these singers coming out there singing, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." And God said, "That's my young'uns. That's the sheep of my pasture out yonder. And they're looking to me." I believe He said, "Angel, stand back and watch this." And son, He smote every one of them. They turned on each other. And then the Ammonites and Moabites turned on each other. Somebody had to be the last sucker standing. You hear me? Somebody had to be the last one living. I believe He pulled out His sword and said, "Dummy, dummy, dummy," and just fell over dead. Every one of them, God took care of it. The Bible said in verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they said that could be a high elevated place, or maybe it's a literal watchtower like these deer hunters like to get in. Somebody climbed up that thing and looked out through yonder, and all they could see was dead bodies. It wasn't an Amorite, a Moabite, or inhabitant of Mount Seir standing there. Everybody was dead. I see him come down here, force to Brother Jehoshaphat, and said, "You ain't going to believe this, sir. All I can see is dead bodies. There ain't nobody standing out there." Hallelujah. And the Bible said, "Behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none." God said, "I told you the battle's mine." Amen. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both for riches, with the dead bodies. Now see if you could explain this. Precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Who is it that goes out to fight an enemy? I mean, to go out and fight a war wearing a Rolex watch if you got one. Who takes all your gold and silver and precious jewels to go fight a battle? I believe God said, "All right, you're coming against my people. Just bring everything you got. Bring all your valuables and your heirlooms. Bring your mammal, silver and gold. Because where I'm going to send you, you can't spend it. And you ain't never going to need it." And God, not only, hey, I kind of outlined this and I done got away from the outline. Their faith was strengthened. Hey, what do you think them teenagers thought when they began to come in there? Mammal said, "Look, son. Look, granddaughter." Papa said, "Look, boys. Look at all them dead bodies." And they point up to heaven and say, "God's done this. Our Heavenly Father." Their faith was strengthened. Their foes were slain. And then their finances were secured. God said, "I'm just going to bless you, Jehoshaphat. You've trusted in me. You've believed. You've held true to the faith. I'm going to show you I can take care of this." He's done. I know a little bit about where I'm at. And He's done that around here. He's took care of business. Their faith was strengthened. Their foes were slain. Their finances were secured. And their future was settled. So they got so happy, verse 26. And on the fourth day, they done gathered. It took them 3 days to gather everything. Toting it home and a crying and a squalling. And probably saying, "What a good God we serve." Huh? That old song came to my mind this afternoon. "What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adores Him. What a mighty God we serve." The Bible said on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. There ain't many valleys in the Bible I like, but this one I like. That word Baraka, they said, means a blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day, which means a blessing. They got down that valley. I can see teenagers. I can see teenage girls and boys and grandmas and grandpas and Brother Jehoshaphat and all the men of war saying, "God, You fulfilled Your word. You took care of us. You have delivered us from our enemy." They were praising God. You said, "Where's that at?" Verse 27. And they returned. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Hey, Boy, when you get down to verse 30, I like this. So the rim, that means the rule, the dominion, and the empire of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him peace. God took care of them wolves. God took care of that enemy. Hey, what to do when you don't know what to do? Simple little Sunday school lesson. Look to your personal potentate. Lift up some purposeful praises. Listen to the proclamation of the preacher. Lean on his protective power. And watch God Almighty go to work. What a mighty God we serve. Hey, I like it myself. Kind of give me some help here a while back, and I got in a tight place. I didn't know what to do, and I stumbled into that passage of Scripture. Jehoshaphat said, Lord, neither know we what to do. But he said, God, our eyes are upon you. God won't fail us if we put our eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him, church. Keep on keeping on. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I feel like the Lord might let us give a little invitation. Pastor will come in a moment and close out. Brother Kurt, somebody help Brother Kurt get the piano, would you? Let Brother Kurt just play something, sing something that God may lay on his heart. I appreciate Brother Kurt. I'm going to tell you, you might be in this service tonight. You might have come in and this week of Jubilee and you've been trying your best. You've been trying, but you say, Brother Buster, they've just been some things out of faith. I just don't know what to do. And maybe God's tonight trying to give you an answer and help you to see He can handle your battles. He can take care of the situation. As Brother Kurt sings, you could be in his service tonight lost. I'm going to tell you, friend, he's the only one that can handle that situation. He's the only one that can say, take care of that. Whatever your need might be tonight, why don't you slip out and come? God's speaking to your heart. Why don't you move tonight, as Brother Kurt sings? You obey God in this service tonight. We need his help.
For your eyes. On soldiers fallen, is your mind on battles lost? Are your thoughts on friends who failed you? Then just turn them toward the cross.
Listen now.
Turn your eyes upon Mount Calvary.
Look to the Lord, friend.
Then behold the empty tomb.
That's the one who can help us.
And gaze upon